Thank you, God, for your word. Let it become alive to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What we see here is that a separation of people existed, and there was this wall separating them. Then someone came along who broke down that wall and brought peace to people on both sides of the wall. Walls cause separation, they cause division. It can be a wall of prejudice, a wall of hate, a wall made up of many things, even a wall of silence, which can cause division in relationships. In homes, there are walls, and people don't get along. Bitterness, anger. And there can be walls at work or at church, invisible walls, and they make for lack of peace. We get an idea of what walls do. August 13th, 1961, the Berlin Wall in Germany went up. It was a symbol of the Cold War, and it separated divided Germany and divided Germany into two parts, communist Germany and a democratic Germany. No contact allowed from one side to the other. Families were split up. One couldn't go to the other side. Many people wanting to be free died, were killed trying to climb that wall or somehow get across it. Never made it to West Germany. What pain that wall caused. There's a story of two young people that ran to the wall and tried to cross it. They started shooting. One turned back. One was shot near the top of the wall. Fell off the wall and laid on the ground, screaming and crying. No one came to help him. No one even bothered to pull him away. He did that for a long, long time until he died. That's what walls cause. Cause much pain. Then in 1989, the wall came down. And until today, we see a free Germany where people from East and West can mingle together in freedom. Families are no longer separated, and there's peace in the nation. That's just a little worldly example of what we read of today in Ephesians. In verse 14, we see, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. The two parties, the people spoken of in our text here, are Jews and Gentiles. And Gentiles are non-Jews, so that encompasses everyone on earth. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. It's either a Jew or a non-Jew. Therefore, we see two parties separated, Jews and Gentiles. And we're on one side or the other. We're on one side or the other. What greater accomplishment can man achieve than making peace with God, the creator of heaven and earth? When a person lives their life, there's only one thing that's really important. Make your peace with God. If you don't, you're in trouble. And peace with God means eternity in heaven. That's a big one, eternity in heaven. I hope to see all of you there. When we make our peace with God, we also make our peace with others. the world. There's people all over the world that know the Lord. In previous verses we studied in verse 11 and 12, remember that you once Gentiles were made not circumcised, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Remember when we went over that? We didn't have much before we were in Christ. We didn't have much at all. And Israel, the Jews, were God's chosen people. And he chose to bring the Messiah through that people. And we studied that last week. The covenants, the promises, the communication with God, the laws, the access, the worship of God, all was geared toward the Jews. One had to be a Jew in order to have all those things. Wouldn't it be awful to read the promises of God in the Bible and say, oh, but it doesn't relate to me because I'm in the wrong nationality? They were his people, and they had communication with God. Gentiles, like most of us, were outsiders. You might say we were on the wrong side of the wall. Couldn't get access to God. Isn't that a horrible thought? Just because of nationality, no access. The Gentiles, as we read in verse 12, were aliens. They had no hope without God in the world, except before Abraham's time, before the nation of Israel was formed. Then they could come to the Lord through faith. But once the nation of Israel was instituted, a Gentile did have to be circumcised and follow the law. You know, the Jews would wake up every morning and say, thank God that I'm not a Gentile. They were looked down on. Prejudice existed. And that's why Paul reminded the Gentiles where they once were and where they now are. They're now saved because of Jesus. Verse 12. Verse 13, now in Christ you once were afar off, have been brought near. And then he tells us in verse 14, he himself is our peace. Jesus Christ the Messiah is our peace. He brought in the new covenant. He gave us a chance to know God and have a relationship with God. It's so wonderful to know God. As you live in this world today, you go through the day, it's pretty tough. It's hard to hear good news. But as you go through the day, I keep always thinking, yeah, but God. Even though they're making crazy decisions, but God. He's ruling. I think we forget that. God is ruling, and he's on our side. Isn't peace a wonderful word? Peace. Maybe you came in here restless today. Leave it here, the restlessness. Don't wrestle. You know, wrestle and restlessness kind of go together. When we're wrestling with a situation, we're restless. Leave it here. Have peace. Because it tells us right here, he himself is our peace. Just Jesus. He's our peace. It's a wonderful word. You know, there used to be a bumper sticker. I don't know if it's still around. And it said, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. The first one was K-N-O-W. No Jesus, no peace. The next line was N-O. No Jesus, no peace. And it's so true. People won't have real peace without Jesus. Jesus is our peace. Now, what does it mean? You know, you notice it doesn't say here that he brought in or made peace. It says in verse 14, he himself is our peace. Jesus himself is peace. Come to Jesus. He's our peace. Jesus is our Redeemer, our salvation, our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. We'll see in our text, he's the one. The reason there is peace between Jew and Gentile and peace between God and man. It covers that also. But first of all, he is our peace. Before I had Jesus Christ in my life as my Lord and Savior, I always felt there was something more. Or I felt I really didn't have it. And I didn't know what it was. You know, we never know who they are. We don't know what it is. That's the way life is. Who are they or what is it? Well, I don't know, but I didn't have it. And then I found Jesus Christ, or he found me. And I gave my life to Christ. And then the bumper stickers come out. I found it. And it was about Jesus. Because he's our peace. There's a change, isn't there? Your life changes. You still have trouble, sorrow, grief, joy, blessings, but you have peace. If you rest in Jesus. If you don't, no peace. Because he's our peace. Just saying the name of Jesus. Let's just all say it together. Jesus. Isn't that peaceful? That's a nice name. Jesus. Just say it once in a while during the day. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. Just say, Jesus. And it's comforting. He is our peace. Why does it say he is our peace? Because he made peace between those two types of people in this world. He is our peace because he made Jew and Gentile one. And we have peace with each other because we were both made one. He got rid of the wall, and he made us one. It's as if our human nationality was lost. When we are born again, that nationality, that division, that difference is lost, and we become one. We become one in Christ. And Jesus said, you'll know that they're mine by their love one for another. I love Christians all over the world. I don't know about you, but there's no division. Jesus made us one. Our nationality is lost. We're simply now one family, and guess what we're called? Christians. Isn't that a nice name? Christians. Hey, we're Christians. One family. We are born again. In John 1, verses 10 and 12, it says, those that believe on him have the right to become a child of God. You get the right to go into God's family. I get the right to be part of God's family when I give my life to Jesus. He's my dad. And you're all my brothers and sisters. It's weird when you look at your wife and you say, hi, sister. But we're all brothers and sisters. And we become one. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, one book back previously, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're one in Christ. Isn't that great to break down walls? We Christians are one family. We're one in Christ. All because of Jesus. No walls separating between God's people. We're a holy nation. We're the church. Let's turn ahead to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And here we read 1 Peter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. In the old translation, it might say dispersion. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. He's writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion. That mean, you know, that word means strangers, foreigners, due to the dispersion. People were persecuted for being Christians, so they were dispersed all over, spread into many nations. They were dispersed because of persecution. So now they're pilgrims just passing through. They're strangers. And he's writing to them, showing them that they're one, you know, that they're a holy nation, strangers. And they're just passing through. And we're just passing through, and we're blessed to be able to live in this country. Not all are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here's what we are. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That sounds pretty good. You know, when you ask, when a child asks a father or mother, who's your favorite child? What do parents say? We love all of you the same. We're looking at someone saying, but we love all of you the same. Because that's what parents say. That's in the parent's manual, right? And so, but God, our Father, truly looks down. And if someone were to ask him, out of these millions or billions, whatever, which child do you love the best? He truly can say, I love all of them the same. Isn't that wonderful? You're special. He loves you. He loves all of us the same. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. We should be proclaiming praises of God, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people. We were irrelevant. We weren't God's people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, see, you get the idea. We're just aliens, pilgrims, foreigners. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. We need to let other people see we are different, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We should be a light, shining in the darkness, so people can see we're different. We're God's kids. I just read a devotional this week, and it talks about how we are the light of the world. And Jesus shares that on the Sermon on the Mount. But let your light so shine that people may see you and glorify your Father in heaven. But don't hide it under a basket. Let your light so shine. And the devotional was, what if every single Christian in the world let their light shine and glorified God? What, this world would just light up. If we all just let our life so shine that it brought glory to God. Such a total different lifestyle. Speech, actions. All at this, you know, we ought to get this word out on June whatever. Every Christian, take the lampshade off. Get rid of the flesh, the worldliness, whatever it is that's hindering your life, and let your life so shine at noon or at midnight. And whew, the world would just light up. We need to be conscious of that, the effect we can make on the world. Now back to our our text, Ephesians 2:14. He made, for he himself is our peace, who made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What was the wall that he broke down? It was the law. The law, the old covenant. The Jews were under the law. The law is what made a distinction, a separation, a division between Jew and Gentile. These were God's people, these weren't. And in between was the law, the circumcision and all the other things that went along with the law. The Mosaic law was an invisible wall between Jew and Gentile, and how powerful of a wall. It kept people from being able to obtain access to God. It separated the Jew from others. And we read in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you have been far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That wall came down and we all were brought near to Christ if we choose. So in verse 14, what he did, what Jesus did was took the two groups. Here's the way peace came into the world. He took the two groups and made one. That's how peace happens. Not by more division, but by making people one. That's how peace really happens. In a family, in a home, in a workplace, anywhere, just bring people together in an effort and you become one. He took the two groups and made them one. And here we are today, Christians, Jew and Gentile. There's no Messianic Jews or Jewish Christians. There's no these type of Christians. There are Christians. Because as soon as we attach a label, I don't fit in. We're just Christians. That's all we are. We're not Baptists. We're not Presbyterian. We're not this. We're not that. We're Christians. Because you put a label on something, it's a wall. We're free in Christ. And who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Man has worked 2,000 years trying to build a wall to separate. And God said, what in the world are you doing? I set you people free 2,000 years ago. Christians, worshiping together, studying his word, looking forward to heaven, having peace with God. What a peace plan. Let's just make them one. Wow. That's a great idea. And that's what happened. And here we are today. Thank God. Matthew 26, if you would like to turn there. Matthew 26, verse 26. As they celebrated the Passover, then Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And it tells us, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He brought in the new covenant of grace, so people are no longer under the law. Down goes the wall and in comes grace, this freedom. Jesus, the wall came down when Jesus came and died here. And he says, this is the new covenant. Jews, you that were looking down on the Gentiles and calling them dogs, you have to come to me just like they will. All come the same way to the Father through Jesus. And he created peace. You know, in John chapter 1, it says, you know, the law came by Moses, but grace through Jesus Christ. The law came down when Jesus died. The law couldn't save. Does it mean the law is no good anymore? No, the law is good because it shows us we're sinners and we need a Savior. But we're told in the Bible the law couldn't save anyone. It could only point you to the Lord, but it couldn't save anyone. Jesus, the Lamb of God, brought in the new covenant, a new approach to God. He paid for our sins, became the sacrifice for our sins, and now we can have peace with God. The wall of separation came down, peace with Jew and Gentile and with God. Matthew 27. Turn to Matthew 27, please, verse 50. When Jesus was on the cross, Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It's been accomplished, the new covenant. Then what happened? Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. What was the veil in the temple? It was the veil, this big, huge veil, separating the holy place from the holy of holies, where it was understood this is where you would meet with God. Only the high priest could enter in there once a year. It was a division. Others could not enter there into the presence of God. And in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, it's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the priest would go in once a year to atone for sin. No one else. Well, what happened once Jesus died? The veil was torn, and it was a huge veil. And it was torn from top to bottom. Who do you think tore it? If it was torn from top to bottom, the Lord. It's over. The wall is down. All can enter in to the presence of God, you and I. Back to our text, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the division, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, he abolished that as a way to the Father, so as to create in himself, in Jesus, one new man from the two, thus making peace. Out of the two groups, or here it's called man, from the two groups, there's Jesus and the people. From the two groups, there's Jew and Gentile. He created one group, man. He abolished that, and he created in himself, in Jesus, one new man, one new bunch of people from the two, thus making peace. All of a sudden, he just said, you know what? All of you are equal. So now all of them are equal. It was that quick that he made peace. Just get rid of the wall. You're all equal. You're all one. So you better love each other. Make peace with one another. So one makes peace by bringing people together. That's how you make peace. Starts in a relationship. You got to bring people together and you make peace. And they love one another. See, the Jewish laws favored the Jews. And it caused resentment. It caused pride. But now Jew and Gentile come to God the same way. So what can anyone say? What can anyone boast? God had a great plan. Don't you wish he ran our nation, our world? Why Israel ever asked for a human king, I don't know. They had God ruling over them. He's wise. He knows how to put things together. We don't. We all come the same way. Blessings are the same for Jew and Gentile. The worst of sinners, no matter what nationality, they can come to the Christ and go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You just join two together, and that's the way to make peace, a new group called Christians. Same way for all. We're united. And verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Through Jesus, all are reconciled to God. The only way a person can be reconciled to God, and we all start out alienated from God. We're all aliens of heaven when we start out. None of us are citizens of heaven when we come into this world. We don't have our papers there. But hopefully by the time you leave this earth, you get your papers. And the paper is the Lamb's Book of Life. You get your name in there. And you have your reservation, and you're a citizen, but you have to become a citizen of heaven. And it's done through Jesus Christ. The only way you can get to heaven is to be a citizen of heaven. And through Jesus, it says in 16, all are reconciled to God, and it makes their peace with God through Jesus. God didn't need to be reconciled to us. We need to be reconciled to God. We're the sinners. The way to do it is through Jesus Christ. One way. Jew and Gentile, male, female, slave or free, they need to be reconciled to God. That's the way. He died on the cross. And now we have the church, a new creation, and we are one in Christ. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. We read that. Shows us here, it doesn't matter what status you have in life. Slave or free, male or female, Jew or Greek, or put any other nationality in there, any race, any color, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Isn't that great? You know, someone that doesn't have very much in life may feel poor and not have much chance to serve the Lord. They don't need to feel bad. If they have Jesus Christ, they're rich and they're going to heaven. There's no distinction. No division. We're all one in Christ. Have peace of God. And then in verse 17 we read, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. I'm glad he preached the gospel, Jesus, and then his followers. Aren't you glad he preached the gospel? He came and he preached to Jew and Gentile who were afar off and to those that were near, the Jews and the Gentiles. And they come and they get peace with God the same way through Jesus. There's only one way of peace. I read that where most peace missions fail. Probably all. It's never going to work out through man's peace efforts. We know the Bible doesn't teach that when you read the book of Revelation. Actually, there's going to be war and rumors of wars and worse. Days will get worse and worse. But I read from 1500 BC to 850 AD, there were 7,500 eternal covenants between nations in hopes of bringing peace. But no covenant lasted longer than 2 years. Because people don't have the right way to make peace. Even in our day and age, there's this religious, spiritual division that will last till the end of the ages. There's only one eternal covenant lasting peace, and that's Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. It's the only way. In the world, you will have tribulation. Can we all say amen? But be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You can have peace in the midst of tribulation in Jesus. Isn't that an awesome thing? What else can do that for you? And it's a lasting peace. Turn back to John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This day and age, you can get troubled and afraid. Jesus, don't do that. Why? Because peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you. You notice how he says in verse 27, but fellas, not as the world gives you peace. How does the world give you peace? Peace, brother. that movement didn't last very long before there was turmoil. How many songs do we have about peace? Didn't work. Groups, rock groups, sang about peace. They didn't last very long. Couldn't even get along with each other. Peace, he says, but I'm not going to give you peace like the world gives to you. That's temporary. My peace is internal and lasting. As long as you're in me, you'll have peace. Just rest in that peace. Back to our text, verse 18. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You and I can go to God at any time and talk with him and pray with him and have him speak to us. Isn't that wonderful? We have access. That word is wonderful. I have access to God. I have access to God. In the worst of situations, I have access to God. And God has all power and nothing is impossible for him. Isn't that wonderful? I have access to God. We both do, Jew and Gentile, by one Spirit, by the same way. Through the Holy Spirit, we approach God. In Hebrews 4, it tells us, hey, come before my throne of grace in your time of need. I'm here for you. Have you entered into the throne room of grace lately? Taken advantage of that? Go on in at any time. Verse 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Hooray, we're no longer foreigners and strangers in that land where it really counts, but we're fellow citizens in heaven with the saints and members of the household of God. Hooray, in eternity, we're in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're citizens. In heaven, there's going to be people from all over the world in countries you may have never heard of. They're going to be there in heaven. But they have their papers. They're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're citizens of heaven. Wow. That's great. Verse 20, having been built, we're having been built on the foundation of the apostles. They were the ones that preached the gospel and laid that foundation that Jesus gave us, and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He supports the whole structure, that chief cornerstone. When they would put up a building, man, it connects the walls. And then the building stands. He's it. And he's the foundation. So we're pretty safe. Troubles, floods come, we read, if we're on that foundation, we're not going to sink. Those that are on sand, they're going to sink. But we're not going to sink. Verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together, it fits right, in Jesus, the chief cornerstone and our foundation, it grows into a holy temple in the Lord. He's not talking about a structure here when you read about a temple in the New Testament. We believers are joined together and growing into a holy temple of the Lord. We're the holy temple. We're the church. And we're still growing. We fit together and we grow into a holy temple of the Lord. God must be so blessed and pleased with what's happened with the church. It's just growing. And it glorifies him. God dwells in our midst. We're the temple. It's a people, and we're called the church. All kinds of people, all kinds of believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You might be rejected by men, by relatives, by co-workers, by the world. But remember, you're chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. See, we're the spiritual house, the temple. We're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. we're growing and honoring God. Back to our text, our last verse 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are with him and each other by the Spirit indwelling this building. We form a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This place where God dwells in fellowship with his people. So we need to love one another. We're one family. And all necessary. All of us are necessary. We're part of this building. Don't ever leave here feeling not necessary. We're all necessary. We keep this building fit and joined together. We're all necessary. And we're bringing glory to God. The other thing we need to leave here with today is if there's any walls in your home, in your life, in your heart, knock them down today. How does it happen? By loving one another. Jesus said, love your enemies. Knock it down. Get rid of the bitterness, the hate, the division, the pride, whatever it is. God wants us together. He has a plan for us. We're blessed. God, we thank you for your word today. How wonderful to be part of your work here on this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you call us precious. Sometimes we feel worth nothing, failures, missing out on life. All kinds of weird thoughts can come into our head. Satan's right there attacking all the time, trying to cause division, trying to get us prideful, arrogant, better. Lord, let all these walls be gone. Keep the enemy away. Keep our minds stayed on you, please, Lord. We have so much in you. We are so blessed. I pray we leave here today excited about where our real dwelling place is in heaven with you. We know for sure time marches on. We're not going to be here forever, Lord. We would ask that Jesus would come quickly, that you would minister to us and comfort us and encourage us to shine our light. Lord, for those people in our life that don't know you, we all lift them up to you now. We come before your throne of grace. And we ask, Lord, that you would be merciful to them, gracious, that they would look beyond our inadequacies or the words we share, but they would see you and know they need you. Because without being a citizen of heaven, they won't enter in. Please shower them with your love and open the door for them to have the faith to believe. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.